Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, He shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, He shall not eat of it, neither shall he touch it, lest he die. And the serpent said unto the woman, He shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. God is good, and all the time. Good evening, everyone. How are you? Delighted. I'm fine. Thanks for asking. I'm delighted to see you. I really am. I say that often, but each time I say it, I mean it. I am pleased to see you, particularly on a Saturday night. And may the Lord bless you for allocating time for Him. When you make time for God, God will make time for you. You know, you scratch His back. Come on, tell me. He'll scratch yours. But He scratched ours first. Are you following me? By having this plan called Jesus Christ. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. That's the way God functions. If God does not move first, we are hopeless. The plan of salvation was in place before Adam sinned. When Adam sinned, he hid behind the trees and God came looking for him. Let me say it again in defense of God's goodness. If God does not move first, no one can be saved. The first step in salvation is taken by God. And so Jesus said to Zacchaeus in Luke 19 verse 10, The Son of Man is come to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. Our subject for this evening, where are you from? Where are you from? That's a sub, very simple. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come before you as we've come so many nights in this series since October 29. We thank you, dear God, for preserving us up to this point. As we bow in your sacred presence, we ask you to forgive our sins. Your only problem with us is sin. Forgive us, God, and put more hatred in our hearts for this thing called sin, which has caused so many problems in the universe. I humble myself before you, Father. I seek your glory. Help me to do that. I am flesh, I am dirt, I am earth, I am clay. I need divine help. Grant it to me, dear God, for your own sake and for the blessing of your people. Touch everyone listening in the building and online, wherever they are. Touch them, dear God, with the finger of truth. It is truth alone that sanctifies. Bless those who are sick. Touch them with the healing hand, Father, and remove COVID-19 from anyone who may have contracted that problem. Father, may we sense your presence during this sermon. Bless all our guests in a very special way. Touch them, Lord, mightily. A special blessing on little children who may be listening now, little boys and little girls, because Jesus was once a little boy. And children can pick up so much. Father, I commit myself to you now. Work through me for your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, Amen and Amen. Go with me to Matthew chapter 19. Our subject, where are you from? What book did I say? Matthew, what chapter? 19, reading from verse 3. And I read from the King James Version of the Bible. Are you there? The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read? I pause. Christ is asking us that question. Don't you read? What is he suggesting by asking, Have ye not read? Well, yes, don't you know? Yes, but what is he trying to tell them? If you had been in the custom of reading, there would have been no need, come on, to ask that question. Have you not friends, don't answer me, but listen to the question. Do you read the Bible? Have you read the Conflict of the Ages series? Did anyone answer me? Give me the books in that series in order of the drama of the ages. Give me the books in order. Patriarchs and Prophets, come on. Prophets and Kings. Desire of Ages. Acts of the Apostles. God bless you. Every good Seventh-day Adventist should have read those five books. Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and wife and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. The expression, the beginning, is used twice. What is Christ doing? He is taking them back. How far? To Adam and Eve. To answer a question about divorce. Think with me. He goes back to a time when there was no sin. To answer a question that arose because of sin. Because God's standards, finish my words, never change. He which made them at the beginning, made them male and female. Let me pause on that. Male and female is not a popular expression in modern society. Even churches are intimidated. I'm told that in some places it is against the law to call someone she or he. You have to use some, I don't mean to be disrespectful, I'm just not familiar with all the ins and outs. There's some other expression, you cannot call somebody she, even though you're looking at a she. Can't call someone he. He made them, let me stay on that a little while, at the risk of my life. When God made Adam and Eve, the only biological, physical information we have about them, it wasn't the color of their hair, the eyes, the height, the weight, nothing of the kind. The only thing we know physically is that one was male, come on, and one was female. Now you tell me, isn't that important to God? The only item of information about Adam and Eve was their gender. One is male, one is female. How tall are they? God says, that's not important. How fat or thin are they? Not important. What's the color of their eyes? Not important. How much taller was Adam than Eve? Not important. How long was Eve's hair? Not important. Which was the man, Adam? Which was the woman, Eve? Why? That's the way I want it, says God. Male and female. And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Jesus goes back to Adam and goes no further than Moses, Deuteronomy. Because he said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. What I'm trying to get across to you is, the issue in the eyes of Christ was so clear, he did not have to go through all the Bible. He just dealt with the first five books. Some Bible subjects are so clear. There's no need to go from Genesis to Revelation. Tonight, I'll deal with a subject that is just as clear. There's no need to go from Genesis to Revelation or Genesis to Malachi. What's our subject? Where are you from? Let's pray again. Father, be with me, Lord. Be with me, please. Be with me. Do not let me go, I pray, please. In Jesus' name, amen. In The Great Controversy, page 588, paragraph 1, the author writes these words, through the two great deceptions, the immortality of the soul and Sunday sacredness, Satan will bring the people under his deceptions. While the former, the immortality of the soul, lays the foundation of spiritualism, the latter creates a bond of sympathy with Rome. What the author is saying, when you believe in the immortality of the soul, you are on the foundation stone of spiritualism. When you believe in the sacredness of Sunday, you have taken the hand of the man of sin. Through two great deceptions, just those two, and both have their roots in Genesis, the first three chapters. Let us go to Genesis chapter 2. We'll read from verse 7. Our subject, where are you from? It's 19 after 7. And for those of you overseas who are watching, you stayed up late. God bless you for that. It may be 7:19 in Tennessee. It may be 2 o'clock in the morning somewhere else. So if someone is making that sacrifice, God bless you. And when this is over, may the Lord give you sweet sleep. Genesis 2 verse 7. If you have it, you may read it with me. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Quiz question for you. It's very simple. What was man made of? Come on, give me them. Come on, speak clearly. And? Okay. I heard all the answers from this side. Let me include that side. Were they right? No, they were not right. Read microscopically. Read that verse again. Come on, read for me. I'll listen to you. Form man of the dust of the ground. Stop. What was my question? From what was man formed? Now you answer me. From the dust of the ground. Not from breath. He was not formed from breath. He was formed from dirt. God performed two acts. He formed him. When this was done, he put life into him. Adam and Eve were not made of breath and dust. They were made of dust. This is very important that you and I understand this. The breath gave life to dust. When the breath is removed, the dust goes back to where it came from. We were made from dust. Any graveyard can prove that. Now, having said that, let's go to Genesis 3. No, not Genesis 3. Stay in 2. Let's go to verse 19. Genesis chapter 2, reading verse 19. Are you there? And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Do you see a similarity between verse 19 and verse 7? What is the similarity? Both were made from the dust. Is that clear? Let's find out something else about the two of them. Let's go to Genesis 7. Are you at verse 20 of Genesis 7? That's the chapter of the flood. Read 20 for me. What does that say? 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. The whole earth was covered. Now, read 21 with me. And all flesh died. Come on. That moved upon the... Now, let's get a list of what all flesh is. Both of? And of? And of? And of? And of? Every man. Go to the next verse, or finish that verse. All in whose nostrils, come on, was the breath of life. What do you learn from that? The breath of life was where? Come on, you just read it. Where was the breath of life? In people, where else was it? In animals. The creeping thing? The land animals? The birds? The breath of life was in all of them, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life. Go to Ecclesiastes 3:19. You're supposed to rebuke me. I'm giving you every opportunity to rebuke me. And you're so nice, you're not. Okay. I'll have to put the blame on you if I go too quickly. You have Ecclesiastes, verse 19. May the God of heaven and earth continue to restrain me and speak through me. In his son's name I pray. Amen. Are you at verse 19, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the wisest man who ever lived? For that which befalleth the sons of men, come on, befalleth beasts. Stop. What does befalleth mean? To happen to. What happens to people happens to animals. That's what the verse is saying. Even one thing, come on, befalleth them. As the one, come on, so dieth the other. Stop. What do we discover about how they're made? The same way. What have we discovered about how they die? The same way. Read the next statement. Yea, they have all one breath. I am glad I'm asking you to read. The breath in a cow is the breath in me. They have all one breath. I didn't say a cow was made in the image of God or a fish. I'm simply saying, at a physical level, the breath in a cow is the breath in me. They have all one breath. And the writer is careful, whatever happens to people happens to animals. They were made the same way, they die the same way, they have the same breath. Now, if that's clear, let's go back to Genesis. What's our subject? Where are you from? Here, Genesis. Let's go to chapter 3. We read from verse 17. I'm sure you'll agree with me when I say, every eulogy places people in heaven. Am I not right? Have you ever attended a funeral where the person was in hell? Every funeral, the person is where? Looking down. If Satan died tonight and there was a funeral for him tomorrow, whoever gave the eulogy would say he's looking down. I don't understand how death makes everyone a saint and eulogies place everyone in heaven. Verse 17 of Genesis 3. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Pause. Let's go back to 17. This time we read how. Microscopically. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. You listen to someone else instead of me, even though that person may be your spouse. You can't put that person ahead of God. And hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Read the next few words. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Listen to Genesis 2 verse 7 again. And the Lord God formed man, come on, of the dust of the ground. When I asked you what was Adam made from, you said dust and ground and breath. And I said no. Now, made from the ground, God breathed the breath into him. Based on Genesis 3:17, what did God curse? What did he not curse? Breath. Because where's the breath from? Mm-hmm. Where's the body from? He cursed the body, the ground, not the breath. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to sink in for a little while. The ground was cursed, the source of humanity, not the breath. Can I move on now? Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Now you pick it up for me and you read. Till thou return, come on. He didn't say till thou return unto the. He did not say till thou return unto the breath. He didn't say that. He did not say until thou return unto the breath. He said until thou return unto the ground. Now, Can you return to a place from which you didn't come? What's that subject? Where was Adam from? No. Till thou return. No one speaks better English than God. Till thou return. Where's heaven? Where's the ground? Where's Adam headed? Keep reading. For out of it was thou taken. But we have two things in Genesis 2 verse 7. What are they? Ground and breath. What does God say he was taken from? Ground, not the breath. Keep reading. For dust thou art. Stop. What could God have said? For dust and breath thou art. He doesn't say that. He said, dust thou art. That's all you are. And he said that while he was still breathing. Adam was alive when God said that. You are only dust. Yet he was breathing the breath of life. You're really dust. And unto dust shalt thou return. We have clearly stated the Bible teaching about what happens to dead people, to people who die. They do not go to heaven. Why? They've never been there. That's not where they came from. Are you following me? This is very critical. This is one of the errors the devil will use to spread spiritualism all over the world. People will believe, my grandfather's not really dead, my grandmother's alive, I'll talk to her, and then she told me, stop going to the Adventist church, and then you listen. Dirt does not talk. Out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Let's depart from Genesis and run to Psalm 103. Let's go to Psalm 103. We read 13 and 14. Beautiful verses, by the way. The entire psalm is very, very beautiful. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy. Lovely psalm. Do you have verse 13? Read with me. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Isn't that comforting? There are many Christians who believe God doesn't like them. Or God doesn't care. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them to a greater degree that fear him. Now you read verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. What do you understand by our frame? How we're made. He knows how we're made of. That's why we're weak. Finish the verse. He remembers. What could he have said? He remembers that we are dust and breath. He doesn't say that. He remembers we're dust. Go to Genesis 18. Genesis 18. It's 7:32, our subject. Where are you from? This error, if not corrected by people who believe it, will bring people under Satan's absolute control. And they won't even realize it. There's nothing beneficial about error. Nothing. And there's nothing harmful about truth. The only thing truth harms is error. What book did I say? Genesis, what chapter? 18. Abraham is negotiating for the salvation of Sodom and Gomorrah because he has a nephew there called Lot. And he tells God in verse 25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, verse 26, if I find in Sodom what? 50 righteous, come on, within the city, then I will spare all the place for... Let me pause on that. The world does not understand how indebted they are to Christians. Do you know the reason why this world has not yet been destroyed? There are Christians on it. I didn't say churchgoers. I said Christians. People of God. When God sent the angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot told the angel, "Let me escape thither, is it not a little one, and my soul shall live?" Verse 20 of Genesis 19. And the angel said, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither." I cannot destroy the city while you're standing there, because God does not destroy the righteous, come on, with the wicked. The wicked of this earth need to understand they are alive because God still has people on the earth. If God were to extract his people, those left would be blotted out immediately. If I find within the city 50 righteous, I'll spare all the place. Point number two, the influence of one righteous person extends over a vast area. Now, there were five cities: Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Bela. If you read Jude, verse 7, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh." There's Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Bela, but the Bible always says Sodom and Gomorrah, but we understand the others. Five cities can be spared if God finds. He came down all the way to 10. The influence of a few righteous people can reach a vast area. Flip that over. The influence of a few sinners can reach a vast area. We have to choose. Read verse 27 for me of Genesis 18. "And Abraham answered and said," what? "Behold now," come on, "I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." How can someone who's only dust and ashes talk to God like that? He says, "I am but, only, just, merely dust and ashes." This is a man with whom God spoke very, very intimately. "That's all I am," says Abraham. How can dust talk to God like that? Dust and ashes. Listen to me very, very carefully. We were made, well, our first parents, and of course God gave them the power to procreate, were made from the ground. You may say Eve was made from Adam's rib, but where did the rib come from? Okay, the ground, all right, same thing. We were made from the ground. At death, we go back to where we came from. This is a Bible principle that is rooted in the first three chapters of Genesis. And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." What does the ground produce? Thorns and thistles. A cursed thing cannot produce anything good. And so nothing good goes from down up. Are you following me? Every good thing comes where? From above. Down. If there's a good thing on the earth, it does not belong on the earth. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, "They are not of the world." You and I may be stranded on the earth. We don't belong. Because we're now, our citizenship is where? In heaven. And by the way, that is not symbolic. It's literal. When you identify yourself, identify as a child of God first. Not a Tennessean or Wolverine from Michigan. A child of God. Not an African-American, a child of God. Then all my standards are different. If I am first and foremost someone from Michigan, then I will use Michigan's mindset. If I'm first and foremost African-American, I'll use that mindset. But when I'm first and foremost a citizen of heaven, I use that mindset. Somebody say amen. First and foremost, a child of God. That puts everything else in perspective. With regard to humility, I am first and foremost dirt. And if there's anything valuable about me, it came from above. Where are you from? The ground. If you die, where are you going? The ground. Let's be reasonable. The Bible says, when we die, we return to dirt. I think I told you that the first week. Go to any graveyard. Dig up. And you'll see what? If someone has lain there long enough, you'll see dirt. Mainly dirt. Which means, what the Bible says about how you end up is right. Are you with me? The Bible says we become what? And we can prove that. Yes, there no scientist disputes that. Then if the Bible is right about how we end, it must be right, come on, about how we began. If you're reasonable, if you go to court and a lawyer tries to disprove your testimony in defending his client, he will try to show that you told a lie 200 years ago, so you're not reliable. Are you following me? He told a lie in 1755, where he's a liar, we can't trust his word today. Well, if God is right about how we end, surely we must conclude he is right about how we began. Dirt. No one at death goes to heaven. When Christ died, he was in the grave. That's where he was. When Mary touched him in the garden, he said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet what? Ascended to my Father." Christ was grave-bound, and he stayed there until the angel brought word from the Father, "Son of man, come on, tell me, thy Father calleth thee." And Jesus came up. By the way, let me digress again. Jesus raised himself. The Bible has many verses that say the Father raised him. All that means is he came up at the command of the Father. But Jesus raised himself. That's why he told the Pharisees in John 2:19-20, "Destroy this temple." Come on. And in 3 days, the Father will raise it up. I will raise it up. And as I read this morning, when the Pharisees and the chief priests came to Pilate, they said, "We heard that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, in 3 days, I will rise again." Christ raised himself from death. I cannot explain it. Everyone else in the Bible who died and was raised by someone else. Jesus raised himself. By the way, that is the power he makes available to us to conquer sin. Did you hear me? The power that reverses death is the power God makes available to us to conquer our weaknesses. And there is no problem as difficult as death. Go to Ephesians 1. Let's read from verse 19. Our subject, where are you from? It's 7:41. I'll release you shortly. Ephesians 1, reading from verse 19. Are you there? Father in heaven, continue to be with me as I come virtually to the close of this message. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Are you at 19? My King James people, if you want, read with me. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, come on, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, what is the power God works in us? The power that raised Christ from the dead. Now, there's no greater power than that. Here's death. Here's smoking. Which is the greater problem? Death. The power that conquers death is the power God gives to us to conquer smoking. In other words, for every sin, every weakness, God gives us a sledgehammer. Let's call our sins fleas, bugs, cockroaches, and June bugs. God gives us a sledgehammer for everyone. The power that conquered death will conquer that flea of your selfishness, will conquer that bug of your short temper, will conquer that cockroach of your whatever, the sledgehammer. Because God doesn't have a lower source of power. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in God, when he raised him from the dead, there's a power that reverses death, I say, and that is the power God makes available to us through Jesus Christ, through this. Where are you from? Don't be embarrassed. I'm from the same place. The dirt. I may not look like it, but that's where I'm from. I'm not from heaven. So I can't go back if I die. Are you with me? When God breathed breath into Adam, it brought alive the dirt. At death, that breath goes back upward. People go this way. Why? The Bible says that's where you came from. Now, if you can prove to me that human beings originated from heaven, then I can believe at death they go to heaven. Are you following me? You know why Jesus... Well, let me not say that. Origin determines destination. Not final, but temporal destination. Origin. And the origin of man is the ground. The destination of man at death is the ground. No one can demonstrate from the Bible that Adam came from heaven. If he had, God would have said, breath thou art, unto breath shalt thou return. But he said, dust thou art, unto dust shalt thou return. God looked at him, a living man, breathing the breath of life, and said, you're dust. Abraham, in the presence of God, he said, how can I talk to God this way? All I am is dust. God looks at a weak, struggling sinner. He says, I know your struggles. I realize that you are only dust. But one day, God will come back. Job was looking forward to that. Job said, I know that my Redeemer what? Liveth. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, finish the verse for me. Yet in my flesh will I see God, not in my spirit. Those who believe when you die you go to heaven, they believe it's the spirit that goes up, the body is down. Job said, I will see him in my flesh, in a physical condition, not as a spirit. This belief that when you die you're not really dead goes back to Genesis 3 verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You may look dead, you may be deadish, but you won't die. God has said, thou shalt, come on, surely die. How many believe the words of God? Can I see your hand? God bless you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God forbid that you die tonight, or I. But if we do, we will wait in the grave until Jesus comes. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, you know it, for the Lord himself, not somebody else. Christ isn't sending someone to get you. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. For they shall rise from where? The dead. That voice will give life. As verily as that voice or the breath of God gave life to Adam, it will give life to every righteous person who has died from Abel until whenever the last person dies before the close of probation. He will shout and they'll come to life. When Lazarus died, Christ came to raise him. The sister said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, because he began to decompose, going back to dirt. Jesus spoke that word of life and Lazarus came. My brothers and sisters, it is not a terrifying thing to think that when we die, we go to the dirt. It's terrifying to think when we die outside of Christ. The Bible says in Revelation 14:13, blessed are they which die in the Lord. That's how to die, in the Lord. Because he or she who dies in the Lord must come back. And so Revelation 20 verse 6, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. In Revelation 14:13, you go down blessed. Revelation 26, you come up blessed. As you go down, you come up. Flip that coin. You go down wicked, you come up wicked. You go down talking fast, you come up talking. God is good. And all the time. How many will say with me, Father, I believe the Bible teaching that the dead are in their graves. Can I see your hand? God is happy. Stand up with me. You know how many millions of dollars people spend on witch doctors? Huh? And witches, and some countries call them sangoma. Millions of dollars to have somebody talk to dirt. Are you following me? But when you live by thus saith the Lord, you're not trapped. You're not trapped and caught in these expensive deceptions. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for the teaching of the state of the dead. It's rooted in Genesis, the first three chapters. It is so clear. Just as Christ taught on divorce, just staying in Moses, the state of the dead is so settled as early as Genesis. Father, let us hold on to the faith that when a person dies, the person goes back to where he or she came from, that is the ground, and no one floats around like a spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, immunize us against error. Let that immunization be the injection of the Word of God. Please, Father, draw us close to your bosom. Keep us faithful. Even if we pass, let us know we shall sleep in the ground until the voice of the Redeemer wakes us. We thank you for truth and the way it liberates the person who accepts it. As we leave tonight, let us leave under the protection of your mighty angels, and when we put our heads on those pillows, let us put our heads knowing our sins are forgiven, because we know not what shall happen during the night. If we open our eyes in the morning, let us recommit that life to your glory. Now, Father, hear this humble prayer. May we assemble tomorrow night according to your will. Bless us in this building. Bless your people online. In Jesus' name we pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of the evening, and we'll see you, God willing, tomorrow.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.